doesn't provide for seniors in the future either. It just, it buys us out of the program in a sense over a 10-year period of time, but it doesn't give any hope that there will be, that the future seniors in Alaska will get any money.
Does yours do that, though?
It does, because the annuity that will be offered will be greatly enhanced. I mean, we had testimony today.
That's because you're asking 24,000 people to give up $1,000 a year up front.
to get 3,000 instead of 4,000, in order to make it equitable, in order to provide a system that allows future seniors to get the same thing that we've been giving to seniors for the last almost two decades.
Mr. Chairman, I think the longevity benefit and the permanent fund is two entirely different programs. Now, if you want to take one away to subsidize the other, fine and dandy. But I don't think it's the right thing to do, and it's not, I'm not going to support it. So,
well,
whatever the majority is going to do, fine with me.
Yeah. Well, they're not two different programs, because the annuity, annuity in SB 8 is funded by the permanent fund dividend. That's the link.
I'm talking about right now. They are two different programs. If you're 1 month old or 100 years old, you still get the permanent fund dividend. It isn't age related. It isn't nothing.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
The justification for the longevity bonus program is based only on age.
That's right. Let's get rid of it. And let's not play games with annuities or anything else. Tell the people this is what it's going to be. You want to, you know, take your permanent fund dividend, invest it, do what you want to do. But there, believe it or not, there's a lot of people out there that's age 65 or over that need the permanent fund dividend and the longevity bonus just to make ends meet. Now, if you don't think so, there's a lot of them that don't, but there's a hell of a lot of them that does.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we've talked about making it needs-based, and, you know, every time that has been proposed, it has been rejected by the seniors who have said, we don't want that option at all, because it is an insult to what we have been told the system is all about. So, you know.
But Fran, since the Rodney case, that what's been told all about that program has dissipated, because it's no longer 25 consecutive years and lived in the territory before it became a state. I mean, that assumption was there before Rodney. Things have changed since Rodney. Now all it is you're 65 years old, live in the state in the year, and you're breathing. That's the only pre-qualifications in order to get it. So we have an option. We have three options here. And we can do a needs basis, follow your thing, or gratuitous. And we've been, you know, I'm sick and tired of this issue. We've been debating it. Maybe we ought to just go ahead and vote on one of those three options and see what shakes out at the end of the session.
You'd probably be eligible for it.
By the time,
Well, I'll point out, Mr. Chairman, under Fran's or mine, it's down to zero before I go to the eligible.
So,
except that under Fran's, you have an opportunity to get a pretty substantial monthly.
I think I'll take care of my own permanent fund deficit.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. I'm from the government.
Yeah, I'm here to help.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I just want to say one other thing on this. You know, I fought really hard for SB 56 when it passed 4 years ago.
That's right.
I carried Senator Petula's bill in the House. I rounded up the votes. I was on the conference committee to work out the differences between the House and Senate. I spent a long time with Governor Cooper trying to convince him not to veto that thing. I was out on a vacation. I spent an hour on the phone. I was sitting at my sister-in-law's house in California, and I remember spending an hour on the phone with Steve Cooper trying to convince him not to veto it. And I really feel strongly that if we're going to act responsibly toward this program, we have to do more than just take care of the seniors who are on it now. Because the seniors 10 years from now, 15 years from now, have just as legitimate an interest in having some financial support as those who are getting the financial support now. And if the beauty of the annuity idea that came up was it was a way of providing something in the future for future seniors and not just giving to those who've got it now. And it seems to me that this approach, I know seniors do not want to give up their permanent fund dividend check. I have asked them, they would, you know, it's $4,000 right now to leave it with their permanent fund dividend and their annuity. But if they would be willing to see that by giving up their PFD, they are making it possible for future seniors to have a little bit of what they have now. Not as much, but a little bit of what they have now. And realize that everybody's being treated equally. Current and future seniors are all being asked to give up their PFD in order to have both the longevity bonus and the future annuity. It works, and it works because of tax benefits. You know, it works because of tax benefits and the enhancement. And if people don't want to do it, it's fine. It's just I tried to get us off of the dead center we were at. And if people don't feel like taking a political risk, I'm going to say it right out loud. If people are not willing to take a small political risk to make this system work into the future, not just for the lucky ones who have, but for the future ones who have not, then, you know, I don't care. Pull the plug,
let's just move the
throw
bill.
It away.
Yeah. Wait a second, I want to say something. You know, that a lot of the discussion on this is the fact that the people of Alaska voted for an annuity back in 86. And my first year in the legislature was 1985, and I remember sitting at State Affairs Committee meetings and discussing this plan as far back then, and looking then to try to find a solution. One of the things that I wanted to do was put a couple of other options on the ballot. Rather than just leave it the way it is for an annuity, I wanted to put an option on there that said stair-step the program, end the program, give
multiple
people
choice.
Real choice. But
choice.
We didn't. We limited the choice, and then we interpret what they say on that advisory vote without really giving all the information about what the long-term costs of it are. So as far as I'm concerned, yes. As far as that advisory vote went, in those two choices, people said this. But our job is to define and determine what we're best able to do and what we're best able to afford out into the future. And, I mean, I've been struggling with it every year, agonizing over it every year since I've been here, and this is my eighth year. And while I think there's some political risk to this plan, I think that it's
let's go
this plan. So, Representative Sharp?
I'll just say, I don't think there's any political risk about asking to take a $300 reduction, everybody, too, that's presently on it. I mean, that's not exactly a sweetheart deal.
Yeah.
But the situation is that the other option, we're not going to go for the annuity SBA as proposed, the way it came across from the Senate. There's more money to be saved up front for the first 7 years under the proposal that I have. And everybody knows up front what it's going to be down the road if the legislature honors the table, which no one knows. But the other situation, point I would like to make, and that's without sacrificing $1,000 apiece in front of fund dividends. Leave it at that. Depends on if you want savings up front and not get involved in annuity and let people know what's down the road. Or the biggest travesty is if we don't do nothing, you just about everyone in here knows it's going to collapse because of the increasing cost, and no one's going to have it. So, in my opinion, we've got to do something.
Further discussion. Representative Brown.
Well, I think Representative Omer has come up with a good proposal, and I'm prepared to support it. I worry about the long curve. We've still got a serious problem in the near term as well as the long term. I wonder if any thought has been given to coupling what's before us in the OMRA proposal with an immediate reduction in the amount. And I realize we are taking away the dividend is a bit, you think that's a big enough hit? He's raising his eyes, Farrell, so that's a big enough hit. But it is troubling, and those of us who have worked closely on the budget understand what the future means, and we're not going to be doing people any favors to set up something that can't work. And I do worry about the payout schedule here. It's, you know, it's long under all of these proposals. And I would ask the conferees how much is included in the operating budget at this time for the longevity bonus.
$64 million.
Which is $64 million. Which means supplemental next year.
That's right.
Already.
Well, not necessarily.
No.
although it is likely to be.
It'll be a supplemental.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, I just want to repeat something that I said before, and I think it's important. When the longevity bonus was first started, we did have the criteria, as I remember, you had to be in the territory of Alaska, and you had to be here for so many years.
25.
Now, in doing away with the years, they also looked upon the date between the territory and statehood as kind of an artificial time period. And really, that's one of the concerns that I still have in regards to the original Senate Bill 8 as it came over. By saying, as of now, an artificial time period, you're going to have one class of super seniors that are going to get the bonus and they're going to get the permanent fund dividend check, and then you're going to have a new class of seniors in the future who aren't going to be treated the same. And I think if we would pass the original Senate Bill 8 as it came over, we would be in court, and the program would more than likely, if the courts were consistent with their earlier rulings, would throw it out and we wouldn't have any bonus program. So we'd have to come back and try to pick up the pieces. So that's why I've always been arguing that everyone should either have to forfeit their permanent fund dividend check, or everyone should be able to keep their permanent fund dividend check. And I think in light of the state revenues in the future, I think we have an alternative here that we have to use as being proposed. I'm a fairness issue.
Further discussion? Representative Sharp.
I'll just say that I think that if we passed a version that requires the forfeiture of the permanent fund dividend, I think that the problem will not be solved this year.
Okay, I'll seek a motion to adopt the Finance CS Cook 5992 version.
My Finance CS.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
The only Finance.
Is there objection?
Yes.
There is objection. Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Ulmer.
Yes.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Kopanen?
Yes.
Representative Larson?
Yes.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative Shaw?
No.
Representative Navarre?
Yes.
Representative McClain?
Yes.
8 yea, 1 nay.
We have before us House Finance CS for CS for Senate Bill 8. Representative Boyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to pass the bill through committee with individual recommendation.
Object.
Mr. Chairman? Before you came, we had a brief discussion about the administrative aspects. We could still ask the departments to work together on that. I think this is a detail not to be overlooked, and we could do it as a floor amendment if you feel it's important to move on to rules with the bill, but I would still like to see us think that through and have an amendment if one is needed that would expedite the transition and so forth.
Details at 11 tonight.
Well, I know we're running very short on time, Mr. Chairman, but I would not want to see us put out something that was going to cause a lot of problems in the administration and the transition over. And we discussed that a little bit, before, I think, while you were still on the line.
Okay. Do you want to work on a floor amendment?
Whichever way you'd like.
What do you think? Floor? Want to move it?
You can do it in rules.
I hear the rule. Huh? I think, yeah, either rules or the floor is fine. I just didn't want the group to think we were not asking you to still follow through on thinking that through and getting with the PFD people.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, I've not gotten a chance to read the proposal in detail, but if the question is how we make the call, we may be able to handle that on a regulatory basis if the legislature were to put some general intent language in. And that may be a more practical way to approach it at this point in time. My concern is trying to get all the agreements together on some pretty specific detail. And I certainly would not want to be party to holding this up or having it fail as a result of we folks in the administrative branch not being able to, you know, come to quick closure on that. But I want to look at this real closely, and I'll, if it's all right, I'll work with you all to make sure it happens. But we'll figure a way to handle this.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, before we start talking about it, I would like to thank the staff of Senator Petula very much, as well as Paul Escavera, for working on the options and the costing and helping think through, and thank you very much.
I'll echo that, Mr. Chairman.
In the Senate, you talk.
Go ahead. We both have the same question. In reading through the bill, I don't see where it says that the administrative cost of the program are paid out of the annuity fund.
That was my instruction to the drafter. So, okay. Well, I will work with Tam Cook to make sure that that's clear, and if it requires a clear amendment, I'll offer it.
On the floor to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal notes, whatever they might be. Is there objection? There is objection. Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Copeland. Okay. Representative Larson.
Yes.
Representative Phillips.
So it's show and tell. Yes.
Representative Sharp.
No.
Representative Ulmer.
Yes.
Representative Navarre.
Yes.
Representative McLean.
Yes.
8 yay, 1 nay.
Okay. We're going to take up 141.
This is a copy of that bill list.
We're going to take up
everything we talked about. Denny's got some additional.
Okay. We're going to take up Senate Bill 141.
Well, 37. Later on, it's 41.
It's,
Which one is it?
We'll take a recess.
What is it?
Oh, God. We got the bells just started ringing.
Oh, come on. I love this bill.
There's only one person here who does know.
Two.
Just two of us.
I come out of the woodwork.
We're going to take a break. We'll recess. What shall we do? Recess? Okay, we have Senate Bill 141 before us, and it's the Capital Project Matching Grant Program. And is there anybody that's going to be presenting it on behalf of the governor?
Where's Carol? Somewhere, hopefully in your packet, but it's not in my packet, there are two amendments. Yeah.
Two pages of amendments.
One of them is right and the other one is wrong, and right. My staff is rushing to go get the other one. Maybe you've got the other one. But one of them is, conceptually, one of them is a sunset clause, which would terminate the program in 1995. And the other one, this one isn't quite the right version. The other one that talks about legislative appropriations, there is a longer version of this that specifies a process whereby the municipalities would develop a list of priorities, and that only if the legislature appropriated specifically those projects would they be approved. And that I don't see in my packet, I'm sorry to say, but hopefully they will be shortly.
So the other amendment that doesn't have the effective date repealer, that's the one we toss out.
Yeah, toss out. Let me move the one. Let me move the amendment that's the sunset clause.
I have another amendment, but I.
There is a motion to move the amendment number one, by Representative Ulmer. Yes, Representative Brown.
The bottom of it says this act is repealed by July 1st, 1995.
Could we go through that?
Madam Chair, could you clarify which version we're working from?
Okay, it's 7GS0073/S.3. The P version? 519?
The P version?
No,
the
S version. I
don't have the S version.
I can't find my amendment here. I want to go through that.
Hey, you're asking about which version of the bill?
I'm asking about which version of the work draft. In my packet, I have a 519 House CS, blank CS, Cook 519P version, as in Paul.
Right.
Right.
Okay, is that the version that these amendments are to? I just like to have the thing in front of me so I can figure out what
correct.
We're doing.
That's
have
correct.
We adopted this work draft?
No.
Can we have someone explain to us what is different in this draft than the governor's bill?
Yeah, the amendments are dated
No. This bill draft was when we left it last year in May.
Oh,
it's
1991.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So, and then these two amendments by Ulmer.
We're working out of the P version.
Right.
7GS0073/P
are to the Senate passed version, and that's going to be, we're going to have to sort that out. My file doesn't even have this.
No, actually, I think this amendment is to the House CS version. Looking at it briefly, it
that's
looks
the
like
House CS version.
Yeah, I think the pages and lines match up, okay.
That's the P version.
Okay.
Okay, then there is an amendment number one by Representative Ulmer, and the number is S.3, amendment.
And I move it.
And so Representative Ulmer moves it, and let's have discussion on it. I'll object for purposes of the discussion. Okay, Representative Ulmer.
It clarifies that it's the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, but the most important part of it is it just repeals it July 1st, 1995. And the rationale behind that is this is a new idea. It's a new concept. We don't know if we can afford it for the long term, and I think a sunset clause makes sense for a new idea like this. I have asked the governor's office how they feel about the sunset clause, and they don't object.
Your amendments are the next bill right here, though.
They do not match.
No, I'm just going because your amendment here was for line 17.
Representative Brown.
Seems like that I was just trying to follow along and understand the amendment, and I think we're going to have amendments drafted to the version we're on because this one doesn't match.
Or else,
like what we did this morning.
Move them conceptually.
Yeah, how about conceptually?
Okay, all you'd have to do is take that amendment to, well.
You see, like the page 5, lines 4 or 5 makes no sense.
I don't, but we can move it conceptually, and if you don't want it, you don't want it. If you do want it, you do want it.
Why don't we move it tomorrow morning? you know, and figure out, get a finance CS drafted up.
It would be the best thing.
Okay. Well, can we talk just about the amendments then and see if we could just have those amendments incorporated in the finance CS?
Better.
That'd be fine. You want to talk about this?
Yeah, the other amendment, which you have in your packet, has been updated, and as a matter of fact, I just had staff go copy it. Now, it's probably not necessary if we're talking about a CS, but conceptually, what it does is the following. Right now, the way this program works, when the legislature appropriates money to the capital matching grant program, it goes into an account for that municipality, and the municipality can draw on it. My amendment does something very different than that. It sets an amount which a district or community gets based on the same criteria, but it is not possible for the community to take money out of it unless the legislature appropriates the project. So what would happen is the communities would come up in October with their list. They'd go through a planning process that say, here's our list of priorities, A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever. When the legislature would come into session in January, it would decide at some point how much it could afford for the capital match grant program, whether that was $50 million or $100 million or zero. Then if they, for example, picked $50 million, that would be allocated to all of the districts. But unless the legislature appropriated the project A, B, C, and D, it would not go to the municipality. The reason I think that's important is it provides the legislature, would protect its constitutional appropriation power, and it would also give the legislature the opportunity to say that perhaps community A's first priority is, let's say, a facility that duplicates, a facility that's right next door in the next community. It would give the legislature the opportunity to say, we don't think, even though that community wants that project, it is duplicative. Maybe it's something that's going to require state operating money over the future. We want the opportunity that the legislature preserve the ability to just say no. So that's the difference. It's too late in the day, isn't it? I mean, you guys are all glazing over. This is incredible.
Okay.
I'll give you a copy on the floor tonight. You can look at it if you'd like to do that. Okay.
Except don't put it in legalese. Just put it in
one
summary
version. One sentence
of
what it does.
Okay.
I have to say, too, that I don't think I support going from 25 minimum to 50 minimum, but...
Oh, you mean the single grant?
Yeah, as the minimum amount. Anyway, we'll take this up tomorrow morning. We'll meet the Finance Committee tomorrow morning at
8:30?
9.
Good.
You know what the schedule's going to be for the rest of the evening? Are we going to be here till midnight again?
I would expect
probably.
So. You want to meet at 9:30?
Sure.
10?
Oh, we see how it goes.
10 o'clock.
What time is session?
Mike?
What's that?
Session probably be at 10.
Well, then
that's why I said 8:30.
We'll cover a lot of it. Take a break.
Too late, but it's all right. You take for one and everything.
Okay.